Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Merry New Year. Merry New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. How we doing? How we feeling? 2025 is here.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
It's going to be a new world, Sean.
Well, for you it
Things
is.
Things are going to change this year.
You still write checks, apparently, according to you yesterday. So you got to be ready, man. It ain't 2024 anymore. When you're getting out that pen and you're getting ready to write a check at the grocery store or whatever it is you do, you old ladies
insisting,
do.
Insisting that my coupon is not expired.
That's right.
I'll tell you what. Listen, old ladies. Listen, old lady's going to old lady, and you're going to write some checks. I get that. Yeah. I understand that. Most older ladies are pretty good at having the checkbook at the ready, at least,
yeah.
which is a nice warning flag. If you're going to, you know, that's the first thing you check when you start to choose a line behind an old lady.
Yes.
Oh, does she have her checkbook out? 100%. I can't deal with this today. 100%. I'm going to go down to, right. Let me find three single guys with rotisserie chickens and stand behind them. So, because they will zoom on through.
They sure will.
But the other is this. I don't know what at what age it becomes that apparently the absolute best place to stop and check over your grocery receipt is leaned over your shopping cart in the middle of the sliding glass doors.
Yeah, man.
What the hell is that? It's the only time in my week where I almost get to be a snarky bastard to an elderly person that I should show the utmost respect. They stop in the middle of the closing doors and just lean over their cart with their elbows, like their forearms on the handles.
Yeah, yeah.
And start like checking the note. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Dude, when was the last time you ever checked your grocery store receipt for anything? Like they just hand it to me. I fold it up and stick it in my pocket.
I do. I've started checking it a lot more because I've got a bad habit of sometimes, because of course I've lost my barcode or whatever to scan in. So sometimes I forget to punch in my member number, which can be costly. Which can be costly.
Yeah,
so I try to be in the habit of checking it over just to be sure that I didn't screw myself out of money.
It's so long. That's the thing. I mean, that thing may as well have a scroll and you're pulling it out to read it in the town square. The best is the CVS receipt where you're buying like three things at CVS and they basically whip out like a whole pad of paper for you at the end of it. I'm like, I bought a bag of chips and some aspirin. What is this long piece of paper?
Have you looked at it? It's deals, Sean, is what it is.
Oh, is it?
Incredible.
Am I leaving money on the table by not looking at it?
You're going to be spending so much more money on multiple bars of deodorant this year because you didn't take advantage of the time you saw a CVS coupon that was like,
oh man,
buy one, get 27 free.
Really?
They have incredible coupon deals. Sometimes it doesn't seem right or appropriate.
God, it's 6:03 in the new year, and I'm saving money already.
Yeah, they have incredible coupons on those CVS receipts.
Oh.
That's why all these people worried about the shoplifting at drugstores, it's a red herring. I believe those are stooges actually taking because big pharma doesn't want you to know how much money they're intentionally bleeding or laundering by these deals they're offering on their receipts.
Okay, all right. Well, man, I learned something new. This is how...
Yeah, nobody think too hard about the logic of what I just said.
No. This
kind of like my cancer thing yesterday.
This is how... Yeah, right. This is how we're going to become the best in the world in 2025. I think we're off to a hell of a start here in
getting
the year.
By saving the people money
yes,
at CVS?
Yes.
That's how you give back.
Absolutely.
You know, Mega always raises like $300,000 or $400,000 for charity, which is cool. But at the end of the day, what's that do for the listener? I'd like to save the listeners money on Arm & Hammer deodorant.
Yeah, right. That's so funny. Yeah, they did. Shout out to Mega. They raised like $226,000 for charity during the holidays. I'm like, I can't believe we share the same floor with these people. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel so inferior to them. When I see the posts on Instagram, like, we raised $226,000. I'm like, oh,
hey,
my
Jace,
God.
Jace, you know what? That was a really nice thing that Sean just said about Mega.
Yeah.
Can you just cut that up in such a way that all you get is, I can't believe we share a floor with these people.
No. Okay. Yeah, great. And it's Mega. It's our Latino station. Jace, don't do that.
Everything's gone to crap since 64.
Don't do that. Right. Don't do that, Jace. You know, it's funny.
They passed a law in 64 that made Sean wouldn't be Lily White no more.
I thought about this yesterday. I promise people, nobody's up. We're going to get to sports, I promise, here at some point.
It's New Year's Day. We probably won't get to sports
today. I did an interview yesterday with Barrett Sports Media. One of their guys, Derek Futterman, one of their writers, reached out to me, and today is my 11-year anniversary at Sports Radio 610. This is my start date back in 2014.
Congratulations.
So they called me up, and they said, hey, Sean, you're a decade in now at Sports Radio 610. I want to do an interview with you about your decade at Sports Radio 610 and what's changed and, you know, moving from afternoons. So all the things that have happened in my radio career, but mostly 610. And when they got to the part about asking me to moving to mornings with you, I was over the top complimentary, obviously. I said, Seth and I have been friends for a long time. I was super excited. But I started thinking about some of the things I said that if they get parsed like you just did to me with Mega.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like one of the things I said was like, I've never hosted a show with anybody like Seth before.
And talked
about how, you know, just like you never know what he's going to say. Like all the things that make you you, all the things that the listeners text in or tell us in person that they love about the show. And parsed up a certain way, it can make it sound like I'm super frustrated about doing a show with somebody like you,
which cannot be
further from the truth. I want you to know, but after I said this, I'm like, they better not Mega me. They better not Mega me. Yeah.
It's the tricky thing of just anything with print media. Yeah. It's really, you have zero control over how the thing gets presented or anything. Because like Barrett Sports Media a couple times has taken stuff that we were totally saying jokingly, but when they throw it in an article, it looks like the time it made it look like I was genuinely angry at Ross Tucker for him. When I, you know, it was, I'd said, yeah, well, he stole my quote, and like we were totally joking, but in print, it looks like I thought that Ross, I said he was like one of these guys from Princeton. I was making fun of being from Princeton and everything.
Yeah.
The other thing about Barrett Sports Media, you know, they've never actually requested me for an interview or anything, which is fine, except that the one time I think they did request something for me, it was for advice to young sports radio people. And I like kind of looked around and I'm like, all right, what advice can I give that's different from these broadcast professionals? Mm-hmm. But also that, you know, obviously I had a leg up because I played professional sports.
Sure.
That was my in. That's my nepotism, you know?
Yep.
But really, what I said was I basically wrote something kind of playfully, but about like go out and freaking like step away from the box scores and go get in a bar fight, make out with a girl that you that you shouldn't be making out with at a party or something. Go live life and be a more interesting person.
Yep.
And they did not use any of it. It was like I think I freaked them out a little bit.
That's interesting.
I was kind of insulted. I was like, they showed the advice from like 30 different other dudes, and like none of mine made the cut. I think because I was a little too real for them.
Well,
because I told sports radio nerds to stop being such weird nerds.
Yeah, you did what I said. Basically, what I said yesterday made me excited about doing a show with you, which is you took it. you took what was great advice and you went over the top with it. You know what I mean? You got a little pugilism in there. Go get into a bar fight. Probably not the greatest advice in the world, but within the context of how you were, your message was be more interesting.
Go live life.
Yes.
Be a Hemingway.
Have stories.
Don't be some little academic writer who's up like, I'm going to try to analyze what the symbolism in this. Go out and don't go die.
Yeah.
Go potentially die. Yeah. A little risk in your life.
The other question that they asked me.
I say as I take my blood pressure. Where's my stat?
True story.
I need my.
True story. The other question they asked me were afterwards. I'm like, oh man, I'm going to sound like kind of a jerk in this.
Yeah. They're
like, he asked me, so how do you measure success? And immediately I go, well, money.
Yeah.
Literally the first word out of my mouth, money.
Then I
clarified. I said both money for me as well as for my employer. You know, we went deep on the sales side a little bit because that's kind of my background. But the other part of my answer, I think, is on the text page here where someone says to us, Seth, thanks for being in this thanks for being up this morning. Makes my drive into work easier. And that was the other thing I said. So I measure success by when the people come up to me that are in their cars and say, you help me escape from my stress. You help me get through my day. Because I was one of those people for 16 years. You know, I drove around and I'm like, man, this having a real job really sucks. It's the
that
worst. I'm going to go escape by listening to John and Lance yell at each other in the morning. You know? Like, that's it's true.
It's nice to be able to have that effect on people.
Yeah.
And hopefully do it like... I hope I bring less stress into people's lives and actually alleviate it a little bit
more.
It's tough with sports.
Sometimes you
feel like you're actually piling. Sometimes it feels like you're compounding people's stress.
Yeah.
Because they're taking what should be a leisure time activity, enjoying a sporting event, and turning into like, I can't sleep at night because I am so angry about Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
What the hell?
and you saved the money this morning as well.
By checking your CVS receipts.
Yeah, we're one for one, man. We're one for one in segments in 2025. We are going to be the best in the world.
This is going to be the best in the world
best
show
ever. Yeah.
Of the best in the world shows, this will actually be the best in the world.
Yes, it was a great segment. I talked about myself for 5 minutes. It was great.
That's the key. Well, yeah, and we're going to veer away from sports. We'll probably be about 1090 sports from now on.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you, off and running in a new year. Thank you for getting up with us. Hopefully, if you're up with us because you've just stayed up all night.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, text in 713-572-4610.
Go get in that bar fight I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That advice goes for everybody, not just broadcasters.
Yeah.
Go get into a fight. All right, so we're going to start off 2025 with something that's fueled this show for many, many years. Disrespect.
Oh.
Disrespect. For a certain front office in the Houston metropolitan area. We will do that coming up next.
From the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast. Happy New Year, everybody. Appreciate everybody who's getting up with us, texting in. Appreciate you guys very much throughout the year. Hey, Sean and Seth, we are with you here in Schulenburg, west of H-Town. On I-10, Happy New Year. Shout out to Schulenburg, man.
Schulenburg?
Yeah.
I feel like I was in Schulenburg for something once. And for some reason, I can't go back. Okay.
Did you start a bar fight?
Probably. I was out there trying to get better at sports radio by living life.
That's it, man. That's it.
By sucking the marrow out of life.
That's it. If you're just getting up and you missed the first segment, you can find it on the podcast or on the rewind. But Seth and I basically just doled out all sorts of life advice for everybody. Including read your receipts, apparently, at CVS. You're going to save a lot of money, according to Seth C. Payne.
I'm looking at Schulenburg. There's a model aircraft museum. That's interesting.
I feel like that would be right up your alley.
Looks like there's some kind of... There's an historical museum.
Mm-hmm.
There's old churches. This is the... Ooh, that's a pretty old church. That's the Catholic church. We might have to go to Schulenburg. The first picture that pops up is an old barn with a rusty roof,
okay.
Which I think looks pretty, but I'm guessing that might not be like the Chamber of Commerce picture they wanted up there. I remember when... there was a story about Michael Sam when he was first entering the draft and everything. Because Michael Sam's from where? He's like somewhere south of Houston.
Yeah, correct? I forget where he's from. For those who don't remember, that was like a decade ago. Michael Sam, first openly gay player to go into the draft. Yeah.
So, but like, the New York Times did an article where they clearly like, let's make this look as much as, like, the guy from who's from some redneck town where they totally must hate all the gays and all that. And it was the picture they put of his hometown, wherever it was.
Hitchcock. Hitchcock, Texas.
Hitchcock. Yeah. It was just like a beat-up, rusted-out old, like, tractor next to a dilapidated barn.
That's the town.
I'm like, all right, that's the town. Okay, great. We get what you're doing here, you know. It annoyed me.
That sounds like something
I've never,
like,
been to Hitchcock. I felt like I needed to defend Hitchcock.
That feels like something where you go, hey, Gemini, send me a picture of Hitchcock. And then they send you a rusted out barn with a tractor next to it. We start off 2025 with disrespect. And I know that's a strange way to want to come into the new year, but The Athletic has an article up. And I love when they do stuff like this. You know me, I love ranking everything. Seth, if I could power rank everything in my life, I would do it. This is a deluxe power ranking of front offices around professional sports across the four major sports, we'll call it, baseball, basketball, football, and hockey. And the pollsters in this are actual front office executives.
Right.
So it's a fun exercise.
These aren't some, like, you know, nerdy, non-bar fighting sports writers.
That's
these
right.
Are,
that's
these
right.
are actual,
These are guys rating their peers. Yeah, they're rating their peers. So, number one, the Oklahoma. I'm not going to go through the entire list. They go down into the 60s. Let me put it this way. To get to a Houston team, you've got to skim down and skim down and skim down.
You've got
to
control F on it.
You got to control. Yes, you have to search, find the word Houston. And just for purposes of, like, what's the gold standard, the Oklahoma City Thunder won this fairly substantially. They were viewed by far as the gold standard of a front office, and it's largely fueled by the Paul George trade for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and every first-round pick the Clippers have from now until Rapture. So they're number one. I'll just do the top five here real quick. Dodgers are number two. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they pull out that checkbook, baby.
Yeah.
Baltimore Ravens, number three. That passes the smell test if we're just in the football world here. The Tampa Bay Rays, number four. Okay, keeping a team relevant on a shoestring budget. That's impressive. And then number five, just to close it out, is the Boston. Oh, no, the Boston Celtics
Dallas
are six.
Stars.
Sorry. Dallas Stars, five, which I'll take their word for it. I don't follow hockey super close. You've got to go all the way down to 40. Do I have that right,
40,
Seth?
40, yeah.
40 before you get to a Houston team. And it's the Houston Texans who got 14 votes in this whole thing. They're tied for 40 with the San Antonio Spurs. The Rockets are right after them, tied at 44 with a couple other teams, St. Louis Blues and Indiana Pacers.
Yeah.
You got to keep paging down and paging down and paging down.
I thought they were left off completely. I was scrolling so long. I thought it was an oversight of some sort.
You don't get to the Houston Astros. You don't get to the Houston Astros until... Until 60, tied with a team that we are going to spend 20 minutes clowning at 7 o'clock today. The Indianapolis Colts.
The Colts were right after them.
The Astros are tied. They're viewed at their front office. The Astros front office is viewed as the exact same as the one where they have not won a division since they got there.
Sean, this is not even... Like, I was trying to look for where I always felt most disrespected.
It's right there.
I would say, no, it gets even worse than that. Because the other part is, all right, above the Astros or for the first Houston team, the ones that annoyed me were the Yankees and the Dodgers, just because the Yankees especially, if anything, they've just spent more money than anybody else, and it's evidence of them actually not being that good at it, because they can outspend everybody else by 50% or more and still just not even compete in a World Series.
They write more checks.
They were at a World Series. They did not compete in a World Series.
They write more checks than Seth Payne. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. So, no, but this is... So you've got the Astros at 60th.
Yeah.
The Colts tied for 60th.
Yes.
Then it's 64th, a team that just had an expose about how dysfunctional and awful they are, tied there at 64, just four spots back from the Astros, the New York Jets.
Yeah.
So basically, the Astros are viewed with the same level of respect as other executives view the New York Jets. Oh, they got to have a purge in professional sports. I need half these people on the street. On the street by Friday. This is an injustice.
I do think, like, it's funny, not to refer back to the interview I did yesterday, but the other thing I said about success was respect of your peers. Like, respect of your peers is a big deal to me, And the Astros clearly do not have that. It's not just that they're tied for 60th, because you could, in your mind, you could go, oh, well, they're tied for 60th. I mean, there's 30-something teams in each of these sports. I mean, they are technically descending right now from their perch, which was very lofty. They've gone backwards each of the last 2 years. That's undeniable. And we'll see what happens this year. They're losing bigger pieces again this year in Tucker and Alex Bregman. But you look at it, you go, okay, well, at least they're in the middle of the pack, all right. But it's that they got 5 votes. Only 5 of these GMs around all of the sports felt like, I guess I'll put the Astros, who prior to this season had made 7 consecutive ALCSs. And I'll remind you that the decline has not been, well, they won all these championships and then went into the toilet like the Rangers. The Rangers win a championship and then they go into the toilet last year. Like the Astros, it's been a slow bleed that, granted, has been largely fueled by the front office. Really bad decisions that were made after the World Series in 2022 have been a big damaging factor in all this. But my God, tied with the Indianapolis effing Colts? Are you kidding
me? Sean, to be clear, it's not necessarily that they got 5 votes. It's possible that they just got 1 third place vote,
which
would have given them 5 points. They have 5 points.
There's one guy.
It might even be as bad as that, or it could be 5. The 5th place vote would give you 1.
Yeah.
So at least 5. So perhaps 5 people voted for them 5 times. I don't know. But but it does make sense, and you can understand why that it's not up there ahead, because obviously when Jim Crane was the GM, that didn't go well, and now Dana Brown has kind of been in a he's charged with taking over an empire that's in need of repair and maintenance and everything else, and you're just not going to be able to do it the same way you were doing it for years. Everything we know about. I don't think it reflects poorly on Dana Brown. I think it's just the reality of the situation is that this is what he has to deal with, and there's going to be some messiness and sloppiness. I agree with you. I think they should deserve more credit for not being one of these dynasties that just, like the Patriots, just falls off a cliff all of a
good
sudden
one,
as soon
yes.
as they lose their quarterback.
Yep. Yeah, It's a little disrespectful, and you can feel the disrespect too. Maybe the Astros are a bit of a wounded animal right now because you got idiots like Jock Peterson sitting at his press conference. I guess he signed with the Rangers. Is that right? We've got him
he's
in the division
Ranger
now.
Yeah, and he fancies himself an Astros killer because he's won 1 World Series against them, but he's played 2.
Yep. Here is Jock Peterson at his Texas Rangers press conference.
Played the Astros a couple times in the World Series, and they put together a nice little run, and it's coming to an end, and it's time for us to take over the West.
Yeah,
a nice little run.
Yes, that's what he called that. Yeah.
Oh,
he's a guy who feels personally victimized by the Astros being mean to them in the World Series when he was with the Dodgers.
He tussled our hair, is what he just did right there.
Yeah,
he patted us on the head and said,
"With
it's
his
a nice
big punchable
run.
Face, his gigantically he's got a face larger than mine on a body that's much smaller, and I've got an incredibly large face. Even for I'm a large person, but my face is disproportionately large. And somehow, Jock Peterson, who I'm guessing weighs like 132 pounds, gigantic moon face.
Well, and he's got a punchable face that literally got punched." Was it last year or 2 years ago?
Was
I forget.
That Tommy Pham?
Tommy Pham walked up to him because there was some beef over fantasy football and decked him before a game. Like, literally, somebody
Did
walked
they ever
up and
prove
punched
that,
him.
That was because Jock Peterson was stealing money from the
league? That's what I'd like to think it is.
That was never an accusation, but I'm curious if just by chance maybe that was proven. Somehow.
Oh, that's funny. Text message.
I have zero memory of that other than the headline, and I'm guessing Tommy Pham was to blame.
It's Jock Peterson. I choose to believe he's right. I'm from Santa Fe, next to Hitchcock, far from country, LOL. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
See, that's what they showed when they showed Hitchcock.
That's
you know? It.
It
was just like a dilapidated old, like, oh,
rusted
poor.
Out barn. Do you?
They love to, man, they love to paint Texas out with a broad brush, just whatever, you know, like, yep, that's Texas.
That's Texas.
Probably somebody abusing somebody's rights in there. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. do you agree with, forget about where they're ranked amongst the galaxy of teams, the three Houston teams are ranked Texans, Rockets, Astro. Do you agree with this? Do you agree with that being the order of the three teams right now?
I think the Rockets should be ranked the highest based on current. Going back to, honestly, again, with Dana Brown, not Dana Brown. But the thing about the Rockets was they kind of got dealt a hand in the James Harden departure that I feel like the initial PR on it was that it was a horrible trade and everything else, and that almost kind of stuck to where people haven't recognized how well they've maneuvered and drafted and kind of put things together after just being left for dead because their star player had sabotaged everything.
Yeah,
like Harden had he brought in Westbrook, then Westbrook wanted it out. He couldn't live with Chris Paul before that. Harden takes off.
Yep,
and to get back to where they are right now, yeah, I don't think they're getting nearly enough credit. And I'll tell you another one that I don't think that I'm curious around this, around league executives hiring Udoka when all those other stupid executives that are voting in this poll could have hired Udoka. They got scared because they didn't want to look at the entire scenario in their minds. They're like, well, nope, that looks a little too much like a possible Me Too scenario. I don't even want to touch it. Like, I credit the Rockets for saying, all right, let's see this for what it is, and see that it's different than a lot of the other stuff. And they brought him in. Udoka would have taken probably several other jobs before he took the Rockets jobs if they had been coming after him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it was, you know, and everything you hear or read about the process to get there, this wasn't Tillman just rolling the dice that everybody was going to be okay with it. You know, the Rockets have a female president of the team, Gretchen Scheer, who's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was involved in that, in vetting it out, and it's turned out so far, it's, you know, they're now in year two of it, but like if we're just to take the last couple of years, you know, go back to the offseason where they hired Udoka, it's been one of the most impactful moves across any of these sports, not just basketball. Like, he has completely changed the culture of that team. He took young players who either did not have that dog in them or had it wrung out of them by the Steven Silas era and has put it back in them, or has put it in them to begin with. You know, like, it's, man, from top to bottom, that is an organization that marches to the beat of Ime Udoka's drum. So that's been huge. I think there's a lot of similarities with the Texans and the Rockets. I think the other thing with the Rockets too, they had all those first round picks, and I would argue, given where those picks were, they've hit on all of them. They've hit on all of them. They had two first round picks each year for 3 years. We'll wait and see what Reed Sheppard is with the third pick, but it almost doesn't even matter anymore. They've got those core six guys. And, you know, Jalen Green, has he lived up to being the number two overall pick? I don't know. He just got a second contract, and he averages 20 points a game. To me, the most impressive thing is the guys they've taken at 16 and 17 and 20, you know, that they traded in back in to get Alperen Şengün, who's going to be an all-star, that they drafted Tari Eason, who's super impactful at 17, that they recovered from the trauma of not getting Victor Wembanyama to get Amen Thompson at 4, who looks like, at the very least, he's going to be one of the most impactful players in the league on one side of the basketball defensively. Yeah, they've done a good job, man.
And Dylan Brooks working out. I'll tell you this, in terms of, I feel a little disrespected that the Rockets are 44 and Daryl Morey's front office up in Philadelphia is 48th. I feel like those are too close. Yes, Daryl Morey, as a GM and as a talent evaluator, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, he's done great things. But as currently constructed, I feel a lot better about the Rockets than I do the 76ers.
I feel a lot better about the Rockets than I do a lot of teams. Are we feeling the same way about the Texans as currently constructed?
And they're only four above the Cowboys, too. Yeah. The Rockets are only four above the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's crazy. How close are the Texans in your mind to where if you have the Rockets one, how close are the Texans in terms of what they – because Nick's done a lot of amazing things with the Texans, too.
Well, it's – I would say they're maybe kind of a year behind.
Yeah.
And part of that is, you know, in football, it's a huge roster to turn around. I mean, without being just overly soft here, I think the big step would be if they can get some guys offensively, or if they can somehow find a way to play on offense the way they play on defense, then I'll start to feel like, all right, they got something going here. I mean, it's one of the most curious things is that, man, they've got all these guys on defense who play like absolute maniacs, and then on offense, you just have very few of those guys who feel that way. The old, like, who would you want with you in a bar fight?
Yep.
They're almost all on defense, and then Joe Mixon, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like Nico might be a little too much of a peacekeeper, and he's got the arm length to do it.
I'll
be like, oh, let me at him, Nico.
No,
he's trying to be a peacekeeper.
He did truck that defensive back twice last year against the Colts.
Oh, that's true. He's got hatefulness.
Yeah,
job.
It's a quiet hatefulness he's got.
That's true.
Nick's done an incredible job of pulling them out of the muck. I mean, he inherited the worst situation in my mind of any GM in the history of the sport when you add everything up. The cap, the draft, lack of draft capital, the salary cap was butchered, the roster stunk, the quarterback wanted out, and then it turns out the quarterback really got loose in some massage sessions, as it turns out, allegedly, according to several lawsuits. Like, that was bad. Did a great job getting them. They're a playoff team now. They are a playoff team now. This fixing of the offense that has to take place in the offseason will be the hardest. That'll be the second hardest project he's had to undertake, next to just getting this team out of the quicksand. Like, this is a project. If this is what it is, unless they go on some run here that I don't anticipate, this is a project this offseason that starts with the offensive coordinator, and it probably ends with having to do some sort of redo along the offensive line.
They've given some money to guys that I don't feel like are the ideal swarm type candidates.
I'm with you, man.
I think that that's the tough part, is you got to extricate yourself from that somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to be expensive, depending on who the guy or guys are that they move on from. All right, so good. A little disrespect to start off the year. Let's get to headlines coming up next. Hey, a familiar face back in the building for the Texans. They actually had some success against the Steelers. We've got the Amen Thompson suspension nailed down now. A lot of stuff to get to in big college football going on yesterday, including right here in Houston. We'll do that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, today's headlines, let's get to it. Reunion. The Texans have brought back a familiar face. I don't know that this is what turns the offensive line back into what we hoped it would be, but I will say this. One of the best performances of the offensive line in 2023 was against the Pittsburgh Steelers with Austin Deculus starting at left tackle. Now, I don't think Laremy Tunsil needs to be looking over his shoulder by any means, but if he wants to, that's fine. But Austin Deculus, Seth, back in the building, signed off of the Saints practice squad yesterday.
He's just been hanging around home in the Gulf Coast in general. Yeah. He went to Cy Fair, right? And then an LSU guy. And it comes to Houston, then goes over to back to New Orleans.
Yep.
I like that. Austin's a guy, he's got great size. I think that when you watched him as a young player, he has made progress in getting better. He's just not naturally as athletic as guys that are stud offensive tackles. But can he make it in the NFL? I think, yes, he has a chance to do that. I think it's got to be through refinement of technique and being super smart and everything else. And some guys get better at their, you know, offensive linemen especially can – athleticism is kind of a hazy term, but they can improve their athletic traits over time, especially with strength training and everything. So I'll be curious to see him now this time around.
Do you think that being in New Orleans and being around Trevor Penning is going to help him, Seth? Get that dog in him.
He's going to be fake tough and be able to drive safeties out of bounds.
They're going to be at practice today, and they're going to be like, "Why is Austin Deculus jumping on the pile after every play?
Why is Austin Deculus acting like pass protection isn't his a part?" Part of his job.
Right.
Like, it's just like it's 2025 now.
Yeah.
And Trevor Penning is out there acting like, as long as you're good at run blocking, the offense will have no issues whatsoever.
He doesn't pass block anymore, but he punches guys at the bottom of a pile all the time now. What the hell? This is not what he signed up
when
for.
When he pass blocks, it looks like he's trying to have a really good run block. And it is like, okay, If they do decide to pull it down and run, then this is going to be awesome. Oh, looks like you wanted to pass.
Yep. All
right. that's Trevor Penning, not Austin Deculus. So welcome back, Austin Deculus.
Welcome back, Austin Deculus. We'll see you at practice today. We'll get an injury report today. Do you think that C.J. Stroud is going to be on the injury report in any capacity? You know, since the banged up revelation happened, you do?
I think he will. And a lot of times C.J. will be on the injury report, but you don't really think much of it with quarterbacks in general if there hasn't been a report or anything. Now this is the where the rubber meets the road with my prediction. I predicted that I think that they will sit C.J. just because it feels like there's enough smoke about him being banged up. Where's that smoke come from, Seth? C.J. Stroud himself?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and others that maybe it is affecting his play somewhat. The fact that he's had all these errant throws that don't make any sense, it's hard for me to believe that's anything other than injury. You know, that one that he airmailed to Nico on Christmas Day, he had time, he set up, it was just a really bad throw.
Yeah.
I think there's something going on there, and there's no amount of... There's nothing you can do to all of a sudden fix that offense after you haven't been able to do it for 17 weeks.
No.
The best thing you can do to make them incrementally better is for the quarterback to be as healthy as possible.
Yep, I'm with you on that. Text message, CJ didn't look hurt until the Tank Dell injury. I don't believe him.
Well, we're talking about his body, not his feelings.
Yeah.
Right. I think he's looked hurt at times this year, and it's been a rolling question of just, like, all right, I don't know. Maybe there is something. You don't want to speculate on it, but it's just, it is curious, some of his misfires.
Yeah.
Now, there's also times where on the TV copy, it'll look like a bad throw. And then when you go watch from the end zone, you realize, he actually, there was way more pressure than it looked like. It was clear that the receiver and he weren't on the same page. So that's where things get hazy, because I think the perception from just watching on TV would be that, like, wow, he's making a lot of errant throws that he doesn't usually make. Usually when I go back and watch the end zone copy of those, it usually is maybe like 50% of less where it's actually an errant throw.
Yeah.
It's been that kind of year where there's just everything's so disjointed on so many levels that you got to write a damn term paper to figure out who screwed up on any given play.
No, you're 100% right. All right. NBA news. Amen Thompson suspended for 2 games for his role in the Donnybrook that took place at the end of the loss to the Heat. Yeah.
That feels about right. You know, what are you going to do?
He hip tossed Tyler Hero to the ground.
He slammed Hero to the ground. And honestly, like, in such a way that Tyler Hero's future children are going to be ashamed of him. It wasn't just violent. It was degrading.
It was degrading, yeah.
Now Hero can say scoreboard. That's the other thing.
I hope
that's how he salvages his pride.
I saw Amen Thompson. He did a media scrum after practice yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that he would just start off and they say, what do you think about your 2-game suspension? I was hoping he'd just go, worth it. Just that. Like, look at Tyler
are
Hero.
So those guys are allowed to be around the team when they're suspended.
Yes. Yeah.
Where in the NFL, it's like you're ostracized.
You're sent to Guantanamo. Yeah.
You get sent off to Guantanamo. God. You might as well be your awful. Send them to an outpost in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Aziz Alshire, war hero. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear, it's headlines, not to get too off topic. Aziz went and met with Roger Goodell during his suspension. I don't know if you saw that.
Did he tweak his clown
nose?
He
should have.
They go, honk.
He should have. But he was like, he was very diplomatic. He's like, no, it was a good conversation. You know, he wanted to talk to them about the statement. I think he met with Goodell, Runyon, Troy Vincent. Yeah. Like, he met with all of them. And so I think he wanted to talk to them about the statement they put out, which made him sound like the worst person in the world.
And I'll tell you the thing about that statement, and this is where it's messed up, is that they deliver that statement before they even hear Aziz Alshire's side of the story.
Right.
Like, that's fundamentally a flaw in the system right there. That's messed up. And what it does is it makes it hard to take those statements seriously, because then the NFL, they look like a grandstanding politician. You know, when you're watching some poor general get interviewed, and both parties do this. Like, the congressman up there is, like, not giving the guy any chance to answer. And that's what it feels like. Like, okay, this is you getting yourself on television to be able to show the people how much you care.
Totally.
That's what that letter felt like,
yep.
Goodell.
Yep.
Come on, you're better than that.
I'd like to think. You're really good at negotiating TV contracts, for sure.
He's richer than most politicians.
Most. Hey, real quick, headlines. College football, yesterday, LSU 44, Baylor 31.
I swear to God, that wasn't even a Trump joke. For anybody who got triggered by that, that was about just various Congress people that might have inside information.
Pockets are lined, yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Kinder's Texas Bowl, LSU 44, Baylor 31. Fiesta Bowl last night. We've got our first team school into the semifinals. It's Penn State. They beat Boise State last night, 31-14. I tell you, this college football playoff has been fun just because it's new. None of these games have been super competitive yet, though. The closest game was Notre Dame Indiana, 27-17. And if you watch that game did not play like a 10-point game. Indiana scored two touchdowns in the last 4 minutes to make it look closer than it was. So they've all been blowouts. We got three games today. I think two of them have a chance to be really, really good. Texas plays Arizona State in the first game. That's a big spread. Yeah. But then you got Ohio State and Oregon, where Oregon, the number one seed, is an underdog in this game. And you've got Georgia and Notre Dame, which has flip-flopped back and forth between Notre Dame and Georgia being favored.
I think these are all, regardless of how you feel about the seeding, it ends up with a really good football game.
Yeah.
This is it, Sean. Today's the day. College football stops being the next high ally. I've been watching, this sport's done for. The sport of football will buoy it as long as it can, but the NCAA as an organization, I might as well be watching Hi-Li in some pit in Miami.
Hi-Li still pops up on Space City Home Network from time to time.
Does it really?
It does, yes. Hi-Li.
Is it in Miami? Is that where they're showing?
I don't know. We had a Hi-Li Fronton in Hartford when growing up.
It was big in New England and South Florida.
Yeah.
Much like New England is kind of big in South Florida too, because that's where they all go there.
Yeah, that's probably why it's
nothing like going. It's nothing like you're like, oh, I'm going to take a nice relaxing vacation to the beach. So you go to South Florida and you're like, this feels a lot like angry New Yorkers everywhere. Why? This is not as relaxing as I thought it would be.
Screw it. Yeah. Let's go to the High Life for Anton. Yes. Brian from Magnolia checks in. Good morning. Happy New Year, guys. Appreciate you. We have a listener checking in from Southern Kansas getting their Texas sports fix. That's probably the furthest suburb that's listening today of Houston, Southern Kansas. Yeah, Southern Kansas.
We were Sean and I were talking during the break, wondering if you could draw a loose perimeter around the city, how far out do you go where people really don't want to be called Houstonians?
Yeah,
because everything almost gets lumped in, and I know it's different in different situations, but I feel like people in Katy Katy is a city unto itself now. The Woodlands is a city unto itself, and yet I feel like they still consider themselves Houstonians loosely, but I'm not sure.
I haven't checked in
on this in a while.
And we only want opinions of people who actually live in those places. We don't want opinions from people that live in Upper Kirby saying those people are not Houstonians.
Don't be like one of these people who are not from New Braunfels who claim that you know how to pronounce New Braunfels when you're actually dead wrong about how people in New Braunfels pronounce New Braunfels.
All right. So the feelings on the Texans right now. In the playoffs, but the optimism level not very high. The optimism level long term, I'm going to give you guys a reminder in the next segment that the team we're about to talk about is the closest to the Texans in the AFC South. And when you look at everything they've got going on, it feels like at the very least the 4 seed is right there for the taking for a long, long time. We clown the Colts next.